My guest at this time is Jenny Mitchell. Jenny is a candidate for City Council at Large in Boone, facing the incumbent, Linda Williamson. And Jenny, first, thanks for taking some time to stop and visit with us.
Thanks so much for having me today.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been in Boone for a number of years.
Yeah, so I moved to Iowa from Nebraska after graduating college at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in 2012. I stayed in Ames for about a year and a half, and then my husband and I moved here to Boone in a beautiful old home built in 1900. So we've been here ever since.
Kids?
I have three children. So my oldest is an adult child now. He's 18, Malachite. He graduated from high school last year. And then I also have my daughter Poppy, who is a junior at Boone High School. She's 16, and my son, Ren, who is a fifth grader, he's 10 years old.
All right. Keeps you busy.
It is. It's a lot of fun, and having one leave the nest has kind of really put things into perspective that I don't have much time left with the other two.
Your reasons for deciding to run, what prompted you to decide to seek the at-large position?
Yeah, so I've been attending city council meetings since about 2019, and over that time, I really fell in love with the process of city government. So I've been wanting to run for quite some time. What prompted it now was I lost my job in June at Iowa State, where I ran the insect zoo for the past 13 mm-hmm. years. So the insect zoo was shut down, and I just, you know, looked at the way that some of the voting has been going, and just it felt like now was a good time. So
good time to join the public service ranks.
Right. Yes. I do a lot of volunteer work, and I'm homeschooling my youngest child now. And I just feel, I don't know, I feel like I have a calling mm-hmm. for city government, and that, you know, I'm a responsible person. I research facts and things that other people say. I make sure to look into them before I believe them. I don't really follow the herd, so I'm more of a leader than I am a follower. So I think it would be a good fit for me. I think I would be a good fit for the role.
So as you've been discussing or talking with other people and stuff, what kinds of things are concerned? Obviously, property tax is always one. There's only so much you can do there, but property tax and things like that. Are there specific things that they've been bringing up to you?
Yeah, one that's been going on for several years are the roads, the conditions mm-hmm. of the roads. And I know that there's a plan put out to start resurfacing some of the roads here in Boone. Mm-hmm. And that's a great start. We need to really have a 10-year plan to where we allot funds every year to fix a certain area of roads over the course of 10 years. Okay. And then, of course, that would cycle again with patching and other maintenance after that 10 years. But it should be something that the city is focused on all the time and not just occasionally. So the roads, also, of course, the property taxes. But that really has to come from the state level. So there's not much we as city council members can do about those property taxes. However, we can spend that money responsibly. Mm-hmm. And I see over the years of me attending city council meetings, I've seen where the council's voted to spend money in ways that weren't really necessary. A great example of that is the city logo, which tonight at the city mm-hmm. council meeting, we'll actually be looking at those other mm-hmm. options. But I don't see that it might only have been, you know, $4,000 and some dollars that they spent on this firm to design the city logos, but was it necessary? Mm-hmm. And when we spend money like that, nickel and diming, it adds up over time.
Okay. Any other? I mean, those are some of the highlights that you kind of picked up.
Yeah. Well, also the drainage. Okay. You know, there's several areas in Boone that has no drainage. A great example is over on Country Club Drive. Yep. Now, this is a dead end road, and many city council members would say nobody uses that road, which is true, mm-hmm. except the residents that live there. And aren't we working for those residents? Don't those residents pay property taxes? Shouldn't they have a safe road to walk down. The residents of that area, they can't even walk. There's no sidewalk, so they have to walk in the streets, and slime covers the roads. I don't know if you've been down there. But
I've been in the past, yeah.
Yeah, I've walked up and down those roads with a couple of the residents that live along there. And it's completely unsafe. Yeah. And that's not the only one. There are...
West Park has some, too. Yep.
Yes.
On the west side of town, yeah.
Yeah, so I've gotten messages or spoken to two other residents that live in two mm-hmm. other areas here in Boone. So we just need to take a look at the drainage of that. Now, that's a complicated matter. Any fixes for that is going to cost a lot of money. And so where does that money come from? Mm-hmm. You know, there's several grants that we need to apply for, that we can apply mm-hmm. for to help fix this. And I think the city council is doing a really good job of applying for grants and finding grants, the RISE grant for the stuff needed for the Daisy Factory, yeah. And the grants even for these road repairs that are upcoming. But we need to be looking into those areas mm-hmm. more.
So, again, let's go to the roads, because I know that's when, again, the one that the council is taking a look at, getting an engineering firm to go start the bidding on First Street, which I know what they've done traditionally is taken their road use tax money they get, and they usually do 2 years' worth. They did it on 11th Street. They did it on a couple of others that they've done. This one would be the First Street, what they call First, but it's got some of Cedar in there and everything else. So they try to do this to avoid borrowing money. Is this something that, I mean, obviously we'd like not to borrow money, mm-hmm. but they get a little bigger bang for their buck? Or is this something you would like to look into a little more? And again, because you talked about a 10-year plan, basically they're doing every other year a bigger project.
Mm-hmm. So this is definitely something that I need to research more. Mm-hmm. It's a very big deal, but we need professionals to come in and do it. And that's another quality that I have. I'm not just going off of what I think I know. I want to make sure that I'm following or reaching out to people who know what is going on, know what to do on how to actually proceed with the 10-year plan. And there's multiple cities that have extended plans for their road maintenance. So being able to, you know, collaborate or speak to those.
Sure. See what they're doing.
See what they're doing so that we can model what we're doing after them.
Not like just the street in front of my house.
No.
It doesn't always happen that way.
No. And one of the streets that I see that needs the worst is Story Street. Mm-hmm. So we were really lucky to get some funds to be able to do right in the downtown area. But when you come into town, that is the opening of our town, what people, you know, the first impression.
Sure.
And you can't even drive on the right. So we went to McDonald's for lunch today, and driving home down Story Street, you can't drive in the right-hand lane because it is so bumpy.
South Story, yeah.
Yes, it is. It is incredibly,
sure.
Yeah, bumpy. So that is a road that I think that we need to do extremely bad. Also, the gravel roads. You know, we are a town. We are a rural community, but in town we should have paved roads on all roads. So those residents that live on those gravel roads, I'm sure they don't want those either. And their property taxes, they're paying property taxes just like everybody else. So we should make sure that we get those roads paved.
Well, I know at one time they said we had 110 miles. I think it's up to about 120 miles of paved roads or somewhere in that neighborhood. Some of them are relatively new, but there are others that need some TLC.
Yes.
A couple other things. Let's talk a little bit about the fireman public safety thing. That seems to be a hot issue right now. Several years ago, the council at the time, with some issues going on with some of the general fund availability and what the state was doing, did do a reduction in staff for the fire department at the time. Now, this all started out with an effort to extend the residency so that they would have a bigger pool of people to draw from to be part of the fire department. But right now, it's gotten into we need more firefighters and stuff like that. They are getting a little stressed. And again, with the number of calls they're getting, which, by the way, don't go down. Is this something that you would like to look into more, find out more about? What are the options? What are the alternatives?
Yeah, I met with the Firefighters Union, but even before meeting with them, I've heard their issues at city council meetings, and I know a couple of them outside of any sort of political realm. You know, we need more firefighters, period. I think that it should be possible for us to fully staff the fire department, period. I also think that we should allow more leniency for residency. So asking for being able to live up to 20 miles outside of city limits is not asking a lot. We like to compare ourselves to other cities a lot, especially Ames. So if we want to compare ourselves to Ames, their lines for residency are pretty skewed. But you can live in Nevada and work as a firefighter in Ames, but you can't live in Boone and work as a firefighter in Ames. You can live way out near Webster City and work as a firefighter in Ames. So I don't see why, if we're going to compare, you know, our town to Ames all the time, and then we should also compare it whenever it helps the person who's asking. So the firefighters, they need to be able to recruit firefighters who already have emergency services training.
Sure.
And in order to do that, that person has to uproot their family and move here. Well, if we expand that radius of where firefighters can live, then we're more likely to get candidates who will not have to uproot their family and move move here to be able to be a firefighter here.
So, well, that's one thing. Now, I know, because one of the things they talk about with the increasing housing that's going up, there again, anticipation of more people moving into town, and again, like I said, the number of calls have gone up exponentially. Then there would be a greater demand for having the full-time fire department. I know at one time they were talking volunteers many years ago. That did not go well.
Yeah, well, we do have paid volunteers.
Sure.
So, or
part-time paid, yes. Paid volunteers too, yeah.
Yeah, so listen, we also have Daisy coming in. And who knows how much that is going to put pressure on our fire department. Things are going to happen there, and the fire department is going to have to take care of that as well. And while we're building all these new houses, we're expanding the number of people that they need to service. And so we need to keep, we're already behind, so we need to find a way to be able to pay for additional firefighters. I believe that our city needs to do a forensic audit, or have a forensic audit completed, and through that process and actually breaking down the budget and where money is going, where it should be going, and also where we can make cuts, we should be doing those things to be able to provide fire safety for our community.
Same time, growing population, if we have the growing population, things like that, police department too, would they have to possibly be looked at too to have enough personnel?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I know that the police department says that they're understaffed already. So these are all things that we need to be taking into consideration when planning our next fiscal budget, looking ahead at the number of residents that we are going to be adding on here in Boone. The police department, the fire department, the EMS, even the hospital facilities. Is this going to, you know, how can we make sure that the hospital is able to service all of the residents that are incoming?
We do have, again, with that, let's talk about the housing things that are going on, because we've seen a lot of rental housing getting constructed. There's more on the table, if you will. But single family affordable homes, that's a whole nother area. We do have aging population. You know, you have an older home. I have an older home. And Boone, for some reason, has like about half of the housing stock is over 100 years old. They've done a pretty good job on some of the preservation projects, things like that. But still, affordable single family homes is something that there's a need for.
Absolutely, especially ranch-style homes for our aging population. I do also think that we could sustain another assisted living facility. And those are things that we would have to build most likely on the outskirts of Boone. So that means acquiring more land, but making sure we're doing that responsibly, of course. But single family homes that are affordable are very, very important. We want to attract families here. And with Daisy, it's projected that they're going to bring in just over 100 jobs, with 55 of those jobs being at or above a certain pay level.
Yep.
Those families are going to need a home, and they don't want to pay $1,800 rent on an apartment. They instead want to be able to purchase a home and set down roots here in Boone, and I think that's important. I do think that there's been a lot of good work with the restoration, like you said, of homes here in Boone, and we need to encourage that more. I drive around a lot, and I see a lot of these homes that could be restored, and so offering assistance or paybacks for programs like that, we should look into those things more and attract more people to do that, to come in and flip a home and be able to sell one that's already
existing.
Those
kinds of things to keep preserve our stock.
Yeah, and they've demolished several homes, you know, that were dilapidated. They needed to be torn down, and new homes have been built there. I think we need to continue with that method and not just put down a, you know, a brand new housing development outside, because then what's going to happen to the center of the city? You know, as if we allow those homes to degrade and nobody wants to live there, nobody wants to buy it or anything, then the center of our city starts to die. I've traveled all around Iowa for the past 13 years, visiting 97 of the 99 Iowa counties. And I see small towns. I see towns our size. I see towns that used to be bigger, but have been allowed to die, and we don't want that to even start here in Boone.
One thing the council did do was support the application for Main Street. They put some money towards that as well. You like the idea of this facilitating and doing some things in well, right now it's a smaller downtown designated area, but it is a downtown area.
It is. I am so proud of Boone for achieving that. I think that we should continue to build upon it and encourage businesses to come. It would be nice if we were able to expand that footprint. As you mentioned, it is very small right now. But right on the outskirts of what is considered the downtown, we still have great businesses there that that need revitalizing and need attention. And so I think that with the downtown area, it's absolutely fantastic, and we should continue to work with the business owners down there, the owners of the apartment buildings, and
One more thing
on that.
Go ahead.
So another thing that I believe that we should do is trying to revitalize the area around the Capitol, or the courthouse,
excuse me.
So we have a beautiful courthouse, and we look around the courthouse, and the beauty of that should also match that of the courthouse. So I think there's some things that we can do around that area to help revitalize that.
Okay. Well, you mentioned some infrastructure with the roads and things like that. So one of the big things this week that we learned is that they are taking a look at what they're going to have to do to get water to Daisy. And that's not a small task. The volume of water that has to go there, the pressures that they have to have. So we're looking at some pretty substantial infrastructure work on the water side coming up here. And again, this is just in the beginning stages, but they are going to have a lot. We might have a little crossover in before Daisy comes online and is able to start paying user fees, paying for their water and stuff, but some residents might have to cover a shortfall for a while.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed in this. You know, when the negotiations with Daisy started and then proceeded, and when they came back to us and said, actually, we're going to increase our output, so we need more water, we should have renegotiated at that point in time. Yes, we're going to still give you everything, and the tax abatement, but... We need help from you to be able to make sure that we can provide the water that you need. But now we're stuck with it. So this is definitely something that a loan is probably going to have to be taken out for to pay for. And the residents are going to have to foot the bill for a little while, as you said, until Daisy gets online and is actually starting to pay.
They will have
I'm
a check.
Just, I'm, you know, I want to be careful what I say because I am so glad that Daisy has come to our community. It is going to be a great thing for not just Boone, the city, but also Boone County. Mm-hmm. But I think that there would have been a better way in the front end to hold Daisy more accountable for the costs associated with the amount of water and the infrastructure that we need. We need to redo the whole water treatment facility. You know, it's something that should have been renegotiated when they came to us and wanted to increase their output.
Well, watch what happens because it's going to be going on anyway. And if you're elected to the council, it's going to be one of those things you'll have to take some votes on.
So. Yes. And I hope that I am able to participate more in these talks with Daisy and being able to vote the way that I see correct.
I want to talk about nuisance abatements because that's, I know, one of the things you've been at some of the council meetings when those discussions have been going on, again, for a variety of things, but mostly in the area where we're talking about lawns and snow and, again, getting those things taken care of. Does fall under the nuisance issues for the city. You've got some thoughts about that.
I have a lot of thoughts about this. So, yeah, I've been at almost every city council meeting that they were talking. Oh, I have been at every city council meeting when they've been talking about lawns. So I have a non-traditional lawn. I grow native plants, grasses, and also white Dutch clover instead of grass. I, you know, don't clean up my yard in the fall. I wait until the spring. And all of this is because I am an entomologist, which is a bug scientist. And my yard, my home, my habitat is for nature. So I know many, many people in town want to have a non-traditional lawn. And if we're not actually spreading noxious weeds or causing an area that does cause actual harm to other people, we should be able to have that on our property. So I do think that the grass ordinance needs to be rewritten, needs to be written more clearly, but also we should be allowing for native plants and lawn alternatives. And that's the way that, you know, again, we like to compare ourselves to other towns. If you drive around Ames, you will see non-traditional lawns all over the place, especially in downtown Ames in that area. So, you know, I think that we should be able to do those things here. Yeah. I also think that, you know, people want to help the environment. They want to help nature. They want to provide these pesticide-free zones. And that's what I'm doing. But yeah, it comes with weeds too. And so, you know, we just have to make sure that we are allowing people to live how they want to live. Now, a lot of times, overgrown lawns get tied into a yard that has junk all over it. Mm-hmm. You know, those are two separate issues.
That's a different thing, yes.
They're two separate issues. But a lot of people try to tie those two things together. So we make sure that those remain separate and that, yes, it's not safe for you to have old tires on your yard, on your property. True. Or, you know, miscellaneous items all over rusted out. That's not safe.
One of the things, when you're elected, we'll do this when you're elected, you'd be one of six. Again, takes a majority to do this. It requires some negotiating and skills and stuff. You feel comfortable with that. You'd like to pitch your story to the others. And again, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Yeah, you know, I'll probably lose a lot. And that's okay with me. I want to make sure that I'm standing for what I think is best for the community and for the people that, you know, come and speak with me. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm holding true to what I think is best. Mm-hmm. But also, if somebody changes my mind on, you know, as we're talking on council, I'm open. I'm not saying I'm steadfast in this, you know, on this issue this way. I'm going to listen to what everybody has to say, and I'm going to research all of the topics as much as I possibly can before I make a decision.
Okay.
I'm okay with, but I'm also, again, I'm okay with being the odd man out, you know, not agreeing.
We may not agree on this, but let's move on to the next piece of business.
Yeah. Or, you know, and I've, you know, collaborated with many, many, many people in my professional life over the past 15 years. And so I work well with others. I'm, you know, I try not to let any sort of emotions take over, take control of me. And I try to be very respectful to other people, especially members of the community that want to speak. And that's one reason why, you know, I feel I would be a good fit for city council.
If people want to find out more about the Jenny Mitchell campaign, how do they get a hold of you? What do they do? How can they talk to you?
Yeah, so I have a Facebook page, and I also respond to messages on Facebook. I also have an email address, which is jennyforboone@gmail.com. Now, I don't respond to comments on Facebook posts because social media is very mean. So people can say, they feel they can say whatever they want on a social media post. So if you would really actually like to have a conversation with me, you can send me a message on Facebook Messenger or send me an email, and I will respond to those. But I'm not going to respond to any sort of comments on Facebook posts.
It's Jenny, G-I-N-N-Y.
Oh, I should specify that. Yes, G-I-N-N-Y.
Jenny Mitchell, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.